Joel, the second chapter. Joel chapter 2. Verse 12. Joel 2, verse 12. Therefore, also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breasts, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? Verse 25, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 19. Again I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together unto my name, there am I in the midst of them. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. And this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worst. But first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Verse 20. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. 33. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Hebrews 13, verse 12. Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him, without the camp, bearing his reproach. Lastly, Revelation 18. Revelation 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plague. I'd like to speak the Lord's help on these two phrases we've read, come together and come apart. We read in Matthew 18, a very well-known verse, in Hebrews 13, also a very well-known verse, where two or three are gathered unto my name, there I am in the midst of them. We often think of it as the Brethren's Charter, in a way, often quoted. I wonder whether we really appreciate the value of gathering unto the Lord Jesus. You may have noticed when I read the verse in Matthew, although reading from our Loved Authorised Version, I used a different word. It says there, gathered in my name, but I said unto, which I believe is a more correct rendering. It's true that when we are together, we are gathered in the name, and we do things in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the name is in view of his absence. just as a policeman will do something in the name of the law. It's with the authority invested in him, but the person who gives the authority isn't present. We do things in the name of the Lord Jesus in view of his absence. It's as a testimony, as a witness for him here. It's in his place. It's where we ought to be taking the place that he would take if he were here. But when we gather unto his name, it's in view of his presence. It's to him. We are coming to him. He is in the midst. I wonder whether when we gather together in assembly, and I believe this phrase is appropriate to every meeting of the assembly proper. The Lord's Supper, the prayer meeting, the meeting for open ministry, and as we had it in Matthew, the meeting for judgment, for binding and loosing. We come into a place for the Lord in the midst. And I speak to my own heart as much as any. When we come to a meeting, what is our thought? What condition do we come to the meeting in? I'm not just talking now of the preparation throughout the week. I fully endorse all that's been said. I believe there's something special about the way in which we come together. This phrase is used in Corinthians 5 times in the passage we considered yesterday. When ye come together. It's not when we are assembled. It's in the process of coming together. I wonder whether we have a consciousness of when the meeting starts. Is it when the clock strikes the hour? Is it when all whom we expect have arrived? No, it's when two or three are gathered together unto my name. There am I in the midst of them. My experience, dear brethren, is that we don't gather in the right frame of mind very often. We don't come to the meeting with a view that the Lord is there. Other things on our minds. We think about all sorts of things. The weather, our health. In 1932, the daughter of J.B. Stoney, aged about 96, wrote to a brother regarding the company with which she was identified at that time. And she said, recalling her youth, in our London days, we went to the meeting with a kind of hushed feeling that the Lord was there. We never thought of greetings, etc., as seems to pertain now. And they say the Lord isn't present. They've never known his presence. Speaking of another company, but I wonder whether those words would apply to us. Have we lost sight of the fact that when we come together, we're going to meet the Lord and all that follows his headship? We own it. We know that the Lord is head, but do we gather together with that in view? Do we come together in anticipation that the Lord is there, waiting and ready to lead? Oh, the value of it, dear brethren. We've had before us the question, is there an antidote? We've had the answer, yes. The Lord himself. And he's promised his presence in the midst of the twos and the threes. If we come together in that right attitude, he's there to take a lead and to guide and to help. That is the consideration, very briefly, dear brethren, of this little phrase, when we come together. But there's another aspect. Come apart. And I wonder whether we have thought of the consequences of what it means to come unto the Lord. Are we conscious whether or not he's in the midst? Can we discern if he's removed his candlestick and he's not there? As in Laodicea, they still came together, but they didn't come together unto the Lord. They did, as one or two verses in the Corinthian epistle we read. They came together unto judgment. The Lord outside, knocking, seeking the fellowship of those who were in themselves, individually, in the right condition. He promises to come in and sup with them. And I believe, dear brethren, that the difficulties we're facing in our own country and abroad are as a result of our losing sight of the fact that the Lord is in the midst and we gather unto his name. We've had before us this afternoon the principles that are to be followed in regard to the judgment of evil, whether moral or doctrinal. I say nothing about the timing. I believe all that's been said before is of great value for us. But it's clear in the case that we read together this afternoon that what had to be done, had to be done. It couldn't be put off, inevitably. And what if we find ourselves in circumstances where it is clear that no such right judgment is going to be followed through? Do we go on with it? Or do we think of the Lord Jesus, whether or not he can go on with that company? Is he outside? We've been given the answer in those circumstances. 2 Timothy 2. Much, much misused verse in the past. Think of many examples when 2 Timothy 2 has been used when 1 Corinthians 11 ought to have been used. The putting out. You don't withdraw from somebody, you withdraw yourselves. In 2 Timothy 2, the great house, the house of God, has become a great house. You cannot, in a great house, have a right putting out of evil. There's no power in the midst. They don't own the Lord. And in those circumstances, the scriptures are clear that you withdraw from iniquity. But not in isolation, it's with them. It's in every place call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. And so, dear brethren, in our own circumstances, it may be that we have to consider this in our own situation, whether or not the challenge is to be obedient to 2 Timothy 2, and in the verse we've read in Revelation, to come out from among her. I don't want to dwell upon the negative side in an unbalanced way. The verse in Hebrews we've read is very balanced. It's outside the camp unto him. And when we come out from among her, my people, we're coming out unto the Lord. And that's why I read those verses in Joel. Again, we have to preface our remarks with the fact that it's in a different dispensation. But we can see the spiritual value of it. What followed humility and sorrowing self-judgment was the promise of the Lord that there would be blessed. The events of a week or two ago, the tragic death of the late Princess of Wales. Many people are asking, why? Why? God has something to say to this nation. It spoke to this nation in a way which I'm sure we could never have expected. Time will tell whether it has a lasting effect. Will it turn people to God? Will they consider the question of eternity? That they too, life might be required of them in an instant. Time will tell. Brethren, I believe God has something to say to the gatherings also. We've remarked on it already, that these things are allowed to test us, to make us think, are we gathering unto the Lord in reality or in word only? If we're called upon to make that stand for him, let's think on those words of Joel. You know, it's no flippant work that we read of there. The consequences are as a result of deep confession and weeping. And only then does the Lord come in to restore that which the locust has eaten. These things that God has allowed to happen, to rob us of the precious things of himself. The fellowship of saints, these things that we've lost in large measure as things come in, as we allow things to come in. Thank God we enjoy them in part. But all what we've lost. In 1926, when two companies came together, they did so as a result of tears. Meetings in London, the floor was wet with tears as the brethren confessed of their own faults on both sides that had allowed things to come in. And that was a prayer meeting in view of reunion. How much more should there be sorrow when we're having to come together in prayer in relation of things of discipline? Sobering thoughts, dear brethren, and I desire that we might have before us in a greater way the great value of gathering unto the name, the person of the Lord Jesus as we come together, that we might have him before us. If we have him before us, then all these other things will follow. We'll know what to do when confronted with the difficulties. But our part is to take the place of those in Joel, to confess our own part in the failure. And having done that, to look to the grace of God in coming in to restore that which the locust has eaten. May it be so.